Lord, we thank you for this hope and this promise, this blessedness that we look forward to, for you will come. He said, I go to prepare a place and I will come again and receive you unto myself. And again, the angel said, this same Jesus that you see being taken away from you shall so again come in like manner as you see him go up. Ah, Lord, what an amazing, amazing promise. Yes, and we know it's going to be so. We thank you, Lord, this morning. We declare, as always, that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Cause that light, Lord, to shine in our hearts this morning in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, good morning, good afternoon, welcome. Let me proclaim unto you today that the King is coming. Glory to God. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy King cometh unto thee. He is just, having salvation. Slowly, riding upon an ass. And upon a colt, the foal of an ass. That's right. That's the first time he came. That prophecy was given by Zechariah many, 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 many years before he even came. Hundreds of years before he came. But let's see when he came to fulfill that prophecy. The first time in the book of Matthew chapter 21, we read, this revelation and this fulfillment of this promise, as he drew near, when he drew near unto Jerusalem, we know that he went to the Mount, of Olives, then sent two of his disciples, saying, go into the village over against you, and straight away you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. That's the authority of the King. And if any man say unto you, you shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straight away he will send them. And all this was done, that might be fulfilled that which was spoken by the prophet Zechariah, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy King cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and upon the colt of a foal. And they went in and did all these things. And commanded them and brought the ass and the colt and put their clothes on them. And they set him thereon. And there was a great multitude that spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strew them in the way. These people didn't know what they were doing. But they were doing it anyway. That they had to fulfill prophecy. And the multitudes that went before him and even those that followed, every one of them crying, Hosanna! Ha! To the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, the whole city was moved. Say, who is this? And said, well, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Oh, my goodness. And he went into that temple, boy. Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold. Bought in the temple, overthrew their tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. So he went to that temple. Well, let's talk about, that was the first time in the book of Malachi, chapter 3, we read from verse 1. Malachi gave this wonderful promise, prophecy, twofold. Prophesied about John the Baptist, really, and also about Jesus himself. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. and even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord. And he came. Actually went straight as he was riding into Jerusalem, riding on that donkey, riding on that donkey, riding on that donkey. Went straight to the temple in fulfillment of this prophecy. Praise the Lord. But, well, you know, and the people were shouting and they were doing some stuff. They actually thought that Jesus was going to just go over there and take over and torpedo the Romans and so forth. he had a different intention. You know, actually did have a different intention. But that was how he came the first time, was riding on a donkey. Well, this time around, he's not riding on any donkey. I'm tell you how he's coming. This time around, the book of Revelation, chapter 19. This is how it's coming this time around. Not any on any donkey and all that stuff. No, enough of that. He's coming now as a king of kings. Not just the king of Judah or the king of Israel, the king of Jerusalem. Well, yeah, that too. But now he's possessor of all things. He's coming. Praise the Lord. Well, let's read this, his appearance this next time around. And I saw heaven opened, Revelation 19 and 11. And behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness, remember we talked about that, his righteousness yesterday. In righteousness he doth judge and make war. And his eyes was a flame of fire. This time around, on his head were many crowns. He got them all. And he had a name written that no man knew but himself. Oh, yeah. And he will also give us a name, too, on a white stone, which nobody will know except the one that receives it. He'll do that, too. Because, you know, whatever he is, so are we. Whatever he gets, so we get. Praise the Lord. And he was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, not little children, not palm trees and palm leaves and this time around. No, the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen. Now, who are these armies that are following him? You know, armies. Praise the Lord. You know, they are, you know, souls of men redeemed. You know, I don't think the angels need to ride on horses. But the armies of them which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in white linen. Now, remember, that linen, white linen is the righteousness of the saints. It's the saints on those horses. White and clean, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. Sometimes he called, I am he that had the two-edged sword. You know, the sharp sword with him, he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. Doesn't that remind you of Revelation 12 and verses 5 and forward? Where I say the man shall cut up to heaven and rule the nations with a rod of iron. Well, what he does, they do. What he does, we do. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And now he's going to reveal something. Has on his vesture and on his thigh a name written in capital letters. King of kings. And Lord, this is Elohim of all lords. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's no one like him. You know, you say, well, if he's the King of Kings and if the Elohim, and we know this is Jesus, well, where is the Father then? You know, that's a mystery which people have never understood. Believe you not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? Why are you asking, show us the Father? The dispensation of the fullness of times. He will gather together all things combined inside and unified inside that name again as before. Hallelujah. The role of, you know, being the lamb, the role of being the one that will die. God in the spirit cannot die. So he prepared a body for him. And that role is complete. The Alpha is moving into the Omega. That's it. And now when he comes, the King of Kings and all Lord of Lords, for it hath pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. You can't find it anywhere else. The fullness of the Godhead upon him bodily. Hallelujah. Praise God. In that one body, the fullness of the Godhead resides right there. Can't find it any other way. All the symbolisms, the role play. Jesus was very good in the role play. The Father too. Well, you know, role play, sit on the throne, come and get it from my hands. And all that role play rolled up now. You know, now he's coming in his kingdom. Now, there is a king to this kingdom, ladies and gentlemen. And look ye for no other. He is none other than Jesus Christ himself. He's called the Word of God. We know who he is. And he is the king. He's also the messenger. He, you know, Jesus played a lot of roles. You know, sometimes he's the, you know, righteous servant, you know, and so forth. Sometimes he's the branch. Sometimes he's the root of David. Sometimes the offering of, you know, I mean, offspring of David. And sometimes the messenger of the covenant. And sometimes the king of the covenant himself. You know, he just plays a lot of roles. Praise God. Well, let's talk about him being the messenger of the covenant. If you have ever wondered what that meant, let's talk about it a little bit today. The messenger of the covenant, even the Lord. Now, not John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the messenger of the messenger. That's who John the Baptist was. He was to introduce the messenger of the covenant. He himself was not the messenger. They asked him, are you the Christ then? He said, no, I'm not. Well, are you that prophet? He said, no. Well, if you are not, then what are you doing here? He said, well, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Just like Isaiah 40 brought it up. So be the man. He will be doing that. Praise God. And every valley shall be exalted and every mountain shall be brought low. And all flesh will see the glory of the Lord. And they saw it too. Jesus was the glory of the Lord. He came. They saw it in his time. Well, they'll see it again. And our prayer is that we will gaze upon him. You will gaze upon the Lord. And you know, there's something about when we see him. Well, literally speaking, when you see him, but even now, if you can see him in the spirit, it will do something to you. Let me tell you what it will do to you if you can see him. That's what it says in 1 John chapter 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. We should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Now, beloved, he said, now, not tomorrow, not a few years from now, but now, right now, are we the sons of God. We already are. But it does not quite yet appear what we shall be like yet. We're not quite there yet. We're still forming. Paul said in Galatians 4 and 19, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be fully formed in you. Well, we're still becoming. As many as received him, gave them power to become the sons of God. It's a process of that becoming. John 1 and verse 12. We're still coming there. But here's how we know, you know, that we shall be like him. You know, he says, well, but we know that when he shall appear, well, we shall be like him. You know, I mean, we're in the process of being changing, but by the time he appears, well, that changing will be completed. And we'll see him as he is. We'll be able to tell. You look at him, you look like you are looking at yourself. Hallelujah. You look at yourself, it's like you are looking at him. It's all complete. Complete in him now. Complete in him. You know, by the time we see him, we'll know that the work of transformation is finished. For we are being changed. 2 Corinthians 3 and 18. From glory to glory, the image of the Lord, we're being changed. But I tell you what else it means. It also means when you gaze upon him in the spirit. Now, this is the spiritual meaning of this verse. I just spoke about the literal meaning, but here's also the spiritual meaning. If you can see him, what you can see in him and adore in him is what you can become. He says, you know, for we know that we shall be like him because we see him as he is. That's what makes you like him, because you see him as he is, you know. So that means when we gaze upon him in the spirit. Now try that next time. You know, when you are in worship, you know, gaze upon him. When you can gaze upon him, when you see the attributes of righteousness and holiness and whatever you see in him, that's what you can become. No servant is greater than the master. Luke chapter 6 and verse 40. You can't be greater. Can't do it. But everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. And so Jesus is bringing us into that perfection to be like him. And we will be like him. Praise God. Because he was called the firstborn among many brethren. The intent of God was like all the other brethren will be just like him. Romans 8 and 29. God predetermined that every one of that his brethren, of whom he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I and the children that you have given me are for signs and wonders. So he was not afraid to call them brethren, you know, and we are not, I mean, was not ashamed. Neither are we ashamed to call him Lord, call him the Lord and Bishop of our souls. But what's he going to do when he comes as the messenger of the covenant? And what covenant, actually? What's the covenant? Well, there was a covenant God made with them in the old days. It didn't work, you know. Jeremiah 31, verses 31 to 34 tells us about that covenant, which did not work because they continued not in the same covenant. You know, so here is the covenant that did not work. Jeremiah 31, 31 talks about it. And because it did not work, well, God said, well, I'm going to make a new covenant with them. And this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. That I will write, you know, my law in their inward parts. And I will write it in their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his brother or his neighbor, saying, know the Lord. For all of them shall know me. From the least of them to the greatest of them, they will know me. Yeah. And we talk about knowing him the other day, you know. Let him that glorieth, glory in this, that he knoweth me, Jeremiah 9 and 24, that I am the one that delights in righteousness, justice, and mercy. For in these things, saith the Lord, that I do delight. I will forgive their iniquity also, and I will remember their sin no more. Let me tell you some aspects of this new covenant. The old covenant, there was a remembrance of sin every year, according to Hebrews. You know, we read it in chapter 8. You know, Jesus became the, you know, the mediator of a better covenant that was based upon better promises, you know, and so on and so forth. You know, the old covenant of, you know, well, you sin, you bring turtles and goats and bulls and all the like, cover up, well, next year you're back again, well, They could not get any redemption, really, under that old covenant, you know. But because he found fault with them, we're told he now brought Jesus. He has obtained, according to Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6, now hath Christ obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also is the mediator of a better covenant, praise the Lord, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then there should have been no place, sought for the second. Look, if something was perfect, why change it? But for finding fault with them, he said in Jeremiah, Behold, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, the house of Judah, not according to that old covenant I made with them in the day when I brought them out of the land of Egypt by hand, but they kept not my laws. But this time around, I'm going to write my laws in their hearts and put it in their mind and so forth. I'll be unto them a God and shall be my people. They don't need to teach anybody because the knowledge of God will be inside of them. And they shall all know me from the least to the greatest. For I'll be merciful to their unrighteousness and to their sins and iniquities. I'll remove them as far as the east is from the west. In that he saith a new covenant. Well, that means he has made the first old. You know, when you say something is new, then you are comparing it to something old. And now that which is decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. And it has vanished away. Jesus has brought this new covenant. So let's talk about, you know, Moses versus Jesus. You know, Moses was the messenger of that first covenant, which was of works. But it turned out to be faulty. Now, Jesus is the messenger of the new covenant. And this new covenant, well, there are a lot of things he came to declare. It's actually about, you know, inheritance of the kingdom. We've been talking about this, you know, for several days now. This covenant, unlike the old, where the Lord used to say, now listen to this. Here are some punchlines from this lesson today. In the old, God said, I will if you do. That's what he said. So, if you obey my voice, indeed, then I will do whatever, you know, he wants to do. But I will heal you. Exodus 15 and 26. I was if you do these four things, then I will do that. Well, that old covenant was based on such, you know, premises like that. If you do this, then I will do that. If you obey my voice indeed, Exodus 19 and 5, you know, then you will be a kingdom of priests unto me and you will be a peculiar people. Well, you know, even the famous, you know, I'm the Lord that healeth thee, carried a lot of ifs. That's what he said. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, that's number one. And if thou wilt do that which is right in his sight, that's right, you know, your righteousness, that's number two. And if thou wilt give ear to his commandments, that's number three. And if thou wilt keep all his statutes, that's number four. They don't even know all the statutes, let them know how they're going to keep them. Then I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I brought upon the Egyptians. For I'm the Lord that healed you. You know, so the old covenant was, I will do if you do. That was the old covenant, you know. But here is the new covenant. Listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. The new covenant is, I will and you shall. That's it. That's the new covenant. It's not, look, I will do if you do, but no, I will be your God and you shall be my people. That's the new covenant. You know, that's how he does it. You know, not I will reward you if you deserve it. These are the punchlines for today, but I will forgive you for my own sake. Hallelujah. You know, there's a big difference between this new covenant and the old, you know. I will reward you if you, for, you know, deserve it. But that's what they used to say. But now he says, I will forgive you for my own sake. Well, let's see some scriptures where he said that. Now, we just read it in Jeremiah 31. He said, I will forgive their sin. It's not because they deserve to be forgiven. As a matter of fact, their hearts were obstinate. They couldn't do it. And said, well, I'm going to take it upon myself to do it. I'm going to write my own laws in their hearts because they could not do it. They could not get it done. They could not come into alignment with his nature. But I'm going to do it myself. Hallelujah. In the book of Isaiah chapter 43, and verse 25. And let's look at all the places where it talked about, you know, forgiving our iniquities for his own sake. You know, he said, I am he that blotted out thy transgressions for my own sake. Not because you deserve it. Now, this is the new covenant. But I will remember thy sins no more. God predicted it for a long time. And Christ actually made it happen. Praise the Lord. I will not remember your sins anymore. Psalm 103 and verse 12. Powerful, powerful psalm, which we always quote, maybe the first five verses. Most people quote that. You know, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name, etc. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Forgive it all thy iniquities. Well, he does too. And healeth all thy diseases. So when we quote that, well, don't stop at verse 5. You know, don't stop about satisfying your mouth with good things and, you know, covering you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Don't stop there. Read the rest of it. Say, the Lord is merciful and the Lord is gracious. He's slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide. You know, this is how he is, you know. And he has not rewarded us. He has not dealt with us after our sins. Well, he dealt with them after their sins in the Old Testament. But now he has not done that. He has not rewarded us after our iniquity. Well, he did reward them after their iniquities. In fact, he gave them up, you know, to the kings of the north and so forth. And everybody, you know, pummeled them, took them to captivity and so on, you know, because of their sins. Because they departed from the Lord, so the Lord also turned his back on them. Now, that was then. But now, as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards us now. And as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. This is the New Testament, ladies and gentlemen. Christ came to show us a declaration of the Father. He said, well, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten, he has declared him. He is the express image of the Father. We read that the other day, Hebrews 1 and 3. You know, Christ is the express image. And also we read it in Colossians chapter 1 verse 15. You know, Christ is the express image of the Father. And he's going to show us what the Father wants us to be like, because his intent was to make people like him. But Adam couldn't do it. He did it for a while, but it wasn't sustained because of disobedience. And so Christ is coming to show us what the Father wanted us to be like, because he said, let us make man in our image, Son talking to the Father, after our likeness. And let them be like the Son of God. And they will be too. We will be. Praise the Lord. You know, and so when we want to see what the Lord, the Father looks like, we got to take a look at Jesus. Colossians chapter 2 verse 9. I told you, said, that, you know, in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Everything is wrapped up, you know, inside of him. And this is what the new covenant is about. You know, bringing us back to the nature of God in the Christ, which is what he had mind in the beginning to do. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus, the kind of covenant that he brings to us now is actually a two-way messenger. Jesus is a two-way messenger. You know, from the Father to us, he came and always telling the people, look, your heavenly Father. They couldn't really address him as that. Your heavenly Father. Your heavenly Father. Your heavenly. Even when you pray, say, our Father in heaven. Your heavenly Father knows what you have need of. You know, and he would always be telling them, you know, your heavenly Father. Your heavenly Father. Introducing that new covenant. It's a new relationship. I will be their God, their Father, and they will be my sons and my daughters. As a new covenant came to bring it. You know, so Jesus was a messenger from God to us. And also now, he's a messenger from us to the Father. You know, ever, you know, Bible says, you know, he's, you know, ever making intercession for us. And because he has an unchangeable priesthood, I mean, because he never dies, therefore he has an unchangeable priesthood. The old priests, high priests, back then, this was one of the most critical concepts that was laid out and explained in the book of Hebrews. Those high priests, they could not continue because of death. So every time they died, another one was appointed. But Christ, being that he lives forever, you know, he has an unchangeable priesthood and is able to ever make intercession for the children of God. So that's the second direction. You know, the first direction is introduce the Father to us. The second direction is, well, you know, speak to the Father on our behalf. Hallelujah. So he's ever making intercession for us. And when you go to the Father in the name of Jesus, that's like him speaking on your behalf because you're using his name, you know. And he even said one time, he said, look, I will petition the Father and he will send you another comforter. He may be with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, you know, but the Father will give it to you. So Jesus, God gave Jesus to the world. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave the world Jesus. You know, whosoever in the world should believe in him, well, should not perish. That's the world. You know, but the Father so loved the church that he gave the church the Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive. Holy Spirit is never given to the world, because the world cannot receive the Holy Spirit. You know, but Jesus standing in the gap for us, purchased the right for us to have the Holy Spirit. He gave at first a token, even of what we will inherit. You know, it's called the earnest of our redemption. The Holy Spirit, the earnest, like a down payment. This is what it looks like. But what is it really he brought? This is what we've been speaking about throughout these lessons of what Jesus brought. You know, and today I'm just trying to show you all the things that Jesus came. His mission, you know, was, as you might see, bring the people back to the kingdom. That's why when he first came out, the first things out of his mouth was repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. When he sent his disciples out, repent. I mean, tell them, repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. You know, that's how Jesus began to preach. And that's what he sent his disciples out to preach, teaching them about the kingdom and also telling them to teach people about the kingdom. In Matthew chapter 10, he sent them out in verse 7. As you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And show them what they can get in the kingdom by healing their sick, cleansing their lepers, raising their dead even, and casting out devils. Freely have received, and freely you give. Now, Jesus said in Luke chapter 12 and verse 32, my little children, he called them little flock, be not afraid. Fear not. You say, well, can we make it? Don't be afraid, he said. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. This is what the messenger of the covenant, which is how we can get back into the new kingdom, I mean, to the kingdom. This is what he came to declare unto us. God wants to give you this kingdom. He gave it to me. I'm going to give it to you. Praise the Lord. And Jesus was praying in John 17. He said, look, the glory that I had with you from the beginning, well, I have given it unto them. Praise God. John chapter 17 and verse 22. The glory which thou givest me, glory of his kingdom. Thine is that glory. Thine is that kingdom forever and ever. That glory, say, well, you gave it to me. I have given it also to them. Everything Jesus had, he shared it with us. We are heirs of God with him and joint heirs with Christ. Joint heirs. He owns something. We own it too. Praise the Lord. He will rule with a rod of iron, but we will rule with a rod of iron and so on and so forth. And he said, look, you have given you. I had this glory with you. You gave it to me and I gave it to them. That's right. Now, in the Old Testament, you know, he said, well, I will give my glory to no other, and I will not give my praise to glory, you know, I mean, what do you call it? Graven images. That was in the Old Testament. I will not give my glory to anyone. I will not even, you know, give my praise. And I will not share that glory with anyone. You know, this is what he said. But that was then. And you can read it for yourself in Isaiah 42 and verse 8. That was then. I won't give my glory to another. I will not share my praise with golden or carved images. We know he's still not going to do that, but he did give his glory. In the New Testament, Jesus declared something new. It's like you have heard it said of old time, I will not give my glory to another. But now I declare unto you that the glory which the Father gave me, I have given unto you. Huh? My goodness, wouldn't that blow your mind when God said, I will not give this glory to everybody, anybody else. In the Old Testament, he did. But Jesus now says, I've given it to them. Praise the Lord. You know, so that they can be one, just like we are one. That's the glory. That's what the glory does. Brings you into oneness with the image of the Christ. Hallelujah. This was what was in God's mind all along. The message of the kingdom that Jesus came to deliver made him the messenger of the covenant, you know, and it was focused, dead focused about it. And that's what he was always teaching and always preaching. Now, he also wanted to save. He wanted to seek those. I mean, a lot of aspects of his mission. In Luke chapter 19, you know, verses 10 and 11, he said, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. What was lost? Well, there are many things that were lost. It wasn't just the people that were lost. The kingdom was lost. The dominion was lost. And Jesus is going to come and restore that which was lost. Now, and he said, you know, after they heard these things, you know, he added and spake a parable unto them and began to tell them about the kingdom. Said, because the kingdom of God, because these people are thinking the kingdom of God is right there. He said, well, there is something happening now in preparation for the kingdom. He's proving he wants that he are called to see if they are worthy. And he's giving them some things to prove themselves, call them into, you know, his service, in his cabinet, you know, go do these things. And then he will come and reward them. He'll tell them a lot of parables, you know, and so on. Now, so Jesus said that he has come to seek and to save that which was lost. But that doesn't necessarily mean only the souls of men who are lost. A lot of things were lost. The kingdom was lost and everything, you know, lost. He has to come and do it and bring it back. In the book of Luke chapter 4, we see another statement that he made. He said in verse 43, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. Well, I send my messenger, and he will come, the messenger of the covenant. You know, he shall appear in his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, the Lord whom you seek. Well, he declares here, he said, well, I've come to preach the kingdom, introduce to you the kingdom. He was the ambassador. Messenger of the covenant is an ambassador of peace. Hallelujah. It's called the Prince of Peace. He's a champion of it. He brought reconciliation between us and the Father. And he came to introduce that relationship to us that we lost. He also came, you know, I mean, he was the ultimate ambassador. You know, we've talked about this multiple times. He used to say things like, the Son can do nothing except, you know, what the Father shows him. Represent the Father only. John chapter 5 and verse 19. The Son can do nothing of himself. What he sees the Father do, you know, that's what he does. He cannot, the Son cannot speak anything. He also said that in the same John chapter 5 verse 30. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I speak. My judgment is also true because I seek not my own will, but the will of him that sent me. So, the ultimate, you know, ambassador, always representing. That's why it's called messenger of the covenant. You know, a messenger should not be preaching his own message or giving his own words. You know, you should deliver the message of the person that sent you. And that's what Jesus was always saying, you know, I've come to deliver the message of him that sent me. You know, I can't do anything of myself, you know, but whatever he told me, that's what I will say. And that's what I will speak. And I will speak only his word. Now, and he told them all the things, but they, most of the time, they didn't believe anything that he said. And he said, well, if you don't believe that I am he, well, then you will die in your sins. But if you do believe, well, then you will know that my doctrine is not mine, but he that sent me. In the book of John chapter 7, he told them this also. In verse 16, Jesus answered and said unto them, my doctrine is not mine, but he that sent me. If any man will do his will, then he will know of the doctrine, that I be of God or I speak of myself. Well, he that speaketh of himself is not a true messenger. but I am the messenger, he said, and I speak not of myself. And what I've showed you is how kingdom, you know, that was lost. You know, he gave a parable. He said, look, there was a man that, you know, went to seek a kingdom. You know, when he had got it, and he come back. You know, so, you know, he's gone and he's getting this kingdom. Praise the Lord. And he said many things about, you know, doing not his own will, but his Father's will, showing that he was the ultimate ambassador. And, you know, we need to take a cue from him. He also came to bring a new standard. You know, I'm showing you all the roles, role play of Jesus in this messenger of the covenant. A new standard he came to bring, you know. You will hear him speaking things like, you know, in Matthew chapter 6 and so forth, where we say, look, you've heard of them, you know, you've heard said of old time that you should do this way or do that way. But now I tell you, do it this way, you know. So in the Old Testament, you have heard that, you know, an eye for an eye and so forth. But we don't do that in the kingdom. In the kingdom, you love your enemies. My goodness. And then people couldn't figure that out. You know, he said, look, in the Old Testament, somebody do one thing to you, do 10 back, you know, take their head off. So, but no, we don't do that here in the New Testament. Do you know even many of the prophets, you know, in the Old Testament, they didn't even get this. You know, they didn't. I mean, I was reading a prayer of Jeremiah just yesterday. There was a point in time when they wanted to kill him because of all his words, but he was always prophesying evil against them. And they desired to kill him. And they were always trying to kill him, throw him into prison, do this and so forth. And Jeremiah was praying that the Lord should consume them, that he would make their wives widows, their children fatherless. I'm like, what kind of prayer is this? You know, I mean, I was shocked at that prayer, you know. You see, that's what the new covenant does to you. And anyone that is comfortable about calling fire down on their enemies, in fact, yesterday, the Holy Spirit, I mean, I was so shocked. It was like an electric shock. And then the Holy Spirit revealed to me, he said, yeah, you know, that's kingdom in you. You know, if you were outside the kingdom, you would not be shocked by that kind of prayer. I was shocked. Why is he praying like this? I mean, David sometimes prayed, let the angel of the Lord persecute them. Let him do this. Let him do that. You know, I'm shocked about those prayers. Do you know that there are people today that are still praying that kind of prayer? But there are some religious organizations, they call fire down their enemies. Well, those people are not in the kingdom, I can guarantee you. they cannot even smell the kingdom. You know, because, you know, when you are in the kingdom, you can't pray like that. Just can't do it. You cannot call down fire on your enemies. You cannot. Jesus told them, you don't know what kind of spirit you are when you say, well, shall we call fire on them just because they are not believing? Jesus said, you don't even know what spirit that is. Yeah. In the kingdom, you don't do any such thing. What do we do in the kingdom? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus did it on the cross. Stephen even did it when they were stoning him to death. Father, forgive them. Now, if you don't know how to forgive anybody who has trespassed against you, well, you're not in the kingdom. I don't care what you do. You can go to church all day, speak in tongues everywhere, and so forth. But if your mindset is still about bringing judgment down on your enemies, then you're not yet in the kingdom. The kingdom of God is different. We don't do that in the kingdom. Praise the Lord. Now, that's the fruit. Say, by their fruit, you shall know them. Well, that's the fruit of, you know, someone that's really in the kingdom. You know, I mean, what are the kind of prayers of your enemies? I mean, about your enemies, Jesus said, well, pray for them that persecute you. You know, bless them that curse you and despitefully use you. That's what we do in the kingdom now. We don't do the other stuff. You know, if I'm in the kingdom, I say, slap me, slap you on one hand, your tongue, the other, let them slap it again. In the kingdom, they want one coat, give them two. In the kingdom, they ask you to go 1 mile, go 2 miles with them. This is what we do in the kingdom, ladies and gentlemen. And Jesus was the messenger of the kingdom, bringing these things to us. Also, he came to teach us how to obtain eternal redemption, because he got it for us. And in him is how we got it. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, let me read this portion because this is important. Hebrews chapter 9, I want to read from verse 11. You know, how that Jesus got this for us. And we now, in him, have it. Praise the Lord. Now, we don't have anything outside of Christ, but inside of Christ, we have all things. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come. By a greater and more perfect tabernacle, Hebrews 9 and 11. Not made with hands, that is to say, of this building, neither by the blood of goats and cows and so forth, which could not change anything. You know, that was the Old Testament. But by his own blood. See, this is the difference. The Old Testament was the blood of goats and bulls. The New Testament is the blood of Jesus Christ himself. By the blood of Jesus himself, he entered into the holy place, not the place of shadows and things like that. You know, the temple that Moses had was a shadow at best. He says, see that you make all things after the pattern I showed you. So the pattern of things, it was shadow at best. But Jesus has entered into the real holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now, that's it. Right there. That's the difference between the old covenant and the new covenant. Jesus being the messenger, you know, the one that interprets what the new covenant means for us. And it's all about us doing things the way of the kingdom. And he was to come and get the kingdom back and deliver it to the saints. You know, the devil in Luke chapter 4, verses 5 to 7, he told Jesus, he said, look, all this stuff, you know, the devil took him into a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. How do you think? Now, that was a vision, you know, 'cause it passed in front of him in a moment. I often tell people, just, you know, some people think that every vision they see is from the Lord. Now, this vision that Jesus saw was from that devil, showed him all the visions of, you know, all the kingdoms of the world. In a moment of time, everything flashed. It's like it took him in 360 and he saw everything. He said, wow. You know, yeah, because in the flesh at that moment, Jesus was subject to those things. And the devil said, and look, all this power will I give unto you. And he stuck out his chest at the time he was saying it. And the glory of them, you know, because all this has been delivered unto me. You know, the devil said, and I give it to whomsoever I will. Now, in the world of darkness, people are seeking for this. And sadly, sad to say, there are some preachers, you know, actually, they are preachers of the devil. You know, Jesus said, he called them, he said, wolves in sheep's clothing, you know, that they infiltrate the flock. But they go to the kingdom of darkness looking for power. You know, they want power to heal the sick. They want power to do this. They want power to amass congregations so that they can give them more money. Whatever. devil made the promise. I give it to whomsoever I will. And he's giving it. And people are taking it. But Jesus said, that's not how we do it. You know, I've got a plan. And Jesus didn't argue with the man at this time, or the devil. And Jesus couldn't yank that devil out of, all those kingdoms out of the hand of the devil at this time, because he hadn't paid the ransom yet. But he had a plan. The ransom that I will give for the world is my flesh. And when he gave it, then now the Father, who sits on the throne as the supreme judge of the universe, now he saw that the ransom has been paid. You know, kidnappers and stuff, when they kidnap, they're asking for a ransom. Well, the devil kidnapped and usurped everything. You know, and even though he wasn't going to give it up, Jesus told the parable in Luke 11. He said, look, when the devil, he's a strong man, keeps his goods, he thinks everything is good. Like the devil, well, I own everything. I sit pretty. All these things is mine. Well, until a stronger than he shall come upon him and bind him and spoil his goods, which is exactly what Jesus did. Made an open show of principalities and powers. Hallelujah. Spoil them. Put handcuffs on the devil and everything. And then, you know, he set us free. Glory to God. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14. In fact, if you read it from that verse 14 and read it to verse 15, he took all the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. He nailed it to the cross. He spoiled principalities and powers, made an open show of them. He did not do it in a corner. He did it openly. And this is how he will restore the kingdom back to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 24. And let's read the, you know, some three or four verses there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In this chapter, you know, Paul is arguing about the resurrection, because a lot of people say, well, you know, there's no resurrection, there's this and that. And Paul said, well, if there's no resurrection, then you are all still dead in your sins. You know, but now he, you know, put forth a lot of argument. But now, he said, is Christ risen from the dead? Verse 20, 1 Corinthians 15. And he has become the first fruits of them that slept. Well, you know, Jesus was not the first person to be raised from the dead, but he was the first person to be raised from the dead in a new order. That's right. People have been raised from the dead. Prophets in the Old Testament raised some people from the dead, you know, but they were not first fruits because they got back a body that can still suffer corruption. Now, in the new uncorrupted body, Jesus was the first. You know, even when he died, in Matthew chapter 27, we're told that as soon as his blood hit the ground, the graves were opened. And some of these saints stood up, but they couldn't come out of there. They can't. They got to wait. Every man in their own order. First, Christ. And then, afterwards, others. Now, is Christ risen from the dead, become the first fruits of them that slept? For since by man came death, by man also came resurrection of the dead. Powerful argument. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order. First, Christ, the first fruits. Then afterwards, well, those that rose at his grave, you know, during his death, and the graves were opened, And many bodies of the saints that had slept arose, but they couldn't come out of there. They arose, but they could not come out of there. All they did was just stay there, wait for Jesus to come out of that grave. And I mean, when he did, then they also came out of the grave. Well, let's read that. Jesus, when he had cried again, in Matthew chapter 27, verse 50, after he cried again with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent. Now, this is the shattering of all those shadowy things and patterns and stuff. You know, shatter it completely. You know, now you can enter boldly. All this, you can't go in. You're not good enough to come in. I'm not good enough to go in. You know, and so forth. Shut out all of that. Now, when the veil was rent, you know, from top to bottom, split like that. Not only did the veil split, even the earth split. The earth did quake, the rocks were split, rent, the graves were opened. That's right. Some people don't know that this is in the Bible. The graves were opened. At the dying of Christ, everything revolted, you know, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. There was darkness upon the face of the earth for 3 hours. And they came out of the graves after his resurrection. They could not come out. Christ had to be the first in this new order of the incorruptible body. You know, they arose though, you know, like a shaking. There was a shaking there, you know, bone came to bone and so forth. But they could not arrive. They could not come out of there. But when Christ came out, then they came out and they gave testimony. My goodness, this happened that time. I believe it will happen again before the end. You know, but they came out in their own order. These are some of the things that Jesus came to do. And also to receive the kingdom. This is the messenger of the covenant, you know, and the relationship with the kingdom. In the book of Daniel, you know, we see in Daniel chapter 2, Daniel chapter 7, Revelation 5 and Revelation 11. I'm going to read to you verses that have to do with the kingdom. This messenger of the kingdom or the covenant was the one that came to proclaim it to us. Prophets had prophesied it, but they couldn't do it. The law couldn't do it. The prophets couldn't do it. You know, and then finally, Jesus, he came to do it. Now, in the book of Daniel chapter 2, we saw that Daniel was finally going to give interpretation to the image dream of Nebuchadnezzar, which he himself dreamt again. And then he began to explain it and said, well, you are this head of gold. And then he explained, you know, down through the ages, you know, all those kingdoms and so forth. You know, finally, you know, he also explained that he saw a stone that was cut out with our hands. He saw all these things. And that stone would later grow to fill the whole earth. And that stone at the end will smash that image. You can read all of that in Daniel chapter 2. And said this stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. You can read that in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 35. Now, and he told him, he said, this is the dream, you know, and this is the interpretation. Thou art the king, you know, God has made you so and so forth, you know, giving you kingdom and power. And he began to explain to him, and after you will come another inferior, this and this and this. And explain it all the way down to, you know, for as much. Okay, verse 43. And whereas thou sawest the iron and the clay and so forth mingled. Well, they would do that in those days. That's at the end, that's a feat from top to bottom. Then in the days of these kings, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom in the days of those kings? You know, I believe it will be in the days, you know, of those, you know, iron, clay mixed together. You know, in those days, God will set up a kingdom that shall not be left to other people. You know, he has been looking, and he's been looking. All those kingdoms, their pattern did not jive. You know, they will carry away their captives. So when, you know, the Roman Empire came and they were instead of carrying people away, installing their own government. Well, now that looks like it. So Jesus coming is going to introduce his own government. Yeah. In those days, God of heaven will set up a kingdom. Now, days with God could be years, it could be centuries, but you know, in those days, he will set up a kingdom nonetheless. And that kingdom shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it will break in pieces and consume all these other kingdoms. And it shall stand forever. That's right. And he told him that's the interpretation, and it is good. Also in Daniel chapter 7, we see in verses 13 and 17, 13 to 14, we read this about the kingdom. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, came to the Ancient of Days. They brought him there before him, and there was given unto him dominion and glory and a kingdom. That's right. And that all people, all nations, and all languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass. And his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. Now, these are the things that Jesus came to represent, you know. And it's going to come. When the judgment will sit eventually. In the book of Daniel, chapter 7 and verse 26, judgment will sit. It will take away the dominion of the Antichrist to consume it and destroy it unto the end. But the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of all the kingdom under the heaven shall now be turned over to the people of the saints of the Most High. Hallelujah. Whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion, you know, shall not end, and all dominions shall serve the Christ, reigning with his people. Praise the Lord. Now, these are all the messages that Jesus came to deliver as messenger of the kingdom. This is what was behind it, prophesied, and this is what he will bring, restore us back. And you see it in Revelation chapter 5. We saw the Ancient of Days. Had a book in his right hand. You know? And it was like, who's going to open the book? John's looking at it, that book. Well, a book means that it has contents. You don't, you know, carry an empty book around. Something's written inside that book. But he could see that there are some seals around the book. He's looking. He focused his eye on it. He could count seven seals. Say, well, what is this all about? I know that if God seals something with one seal, nobody can open it. But why? There are seven seals. And he's wondering, you know. And they made a proclamation. You know, we challenge everybody to come and step up and take this book and open it. Tell us what's inside. There was not found any angel. There was not found any apostle, any prophet, any pastor, evangelist, teacher, none of them. And John began to cry because he wanted, I need to know what's inside that book. And then someone stepped up to him and said, John, why are you crying? I got good news for you. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, he has prevailed to take the book and to open it. I said, my goodness. And they said, well, let me see. Where's this lion? So he's expecting a lion to come out of there, you know, with the mane, the big mane, and, you know, moving like that. And you know how lions move? They walk majestically like that, you know? That's what he was expecting. But he didn't see that. What he saw was a bloody lamp, covered with blood, slain. Oh, my goodness. He said, where's the lion at? And this lamb, he stood up. My goodness, all bloodied and everything. Comes up to the one that sat upon the throne. Takes the book. That's right. Because he had prevailed. He earned it. You know, the title deed to all the kingdoms of the world. The title deed to everything. He takes it and proceeds to open it. And John said, well, I got to figure out when he reads this book. He didn't need to read it. He knows what's in the book. But just opening and showing him, Christ never read that book. But he opened it nonetheless, because he knows what's in there. And he showed, you know, and he said this in the book of Luke chapter 22 and verse 29. I appoint you a kingdom, even as my father has appointed me one. I'm going to give it to you. Hallelujah. Let's see this kingdom. We're going to wrap it up with this in Revelation chapter 11, verses 15 to 17. As Jesus began to open the seals, he opened the first seal and one, you know, the beast said to him, come and see. And he saw some things. He opened the second, come and see. Opened the third, come and see. And as he opened, you know, finally, you know, he opened the seventh seal. There was silence in heaven. And then out of that seventh seal, my goodness, there came some angels that had some trumpets that were about to sound. And as it began to sound, when the seventh angel sounded, there came also some vials and some judgments and so forth. But let's see what happened when the seventh angel sounded. In the book of Revelation, chapter 11, verses 15 to 17. You know, this is how you read the end of the book. This is the end of the book. You know, Revelation went back and forth. They would say something and they would go back and put something like a parenthetical passage in between and reveal some more things and come back and reveal. You know, everything is not all chronological from chapter to chapter. Some goes back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. You know, I reveal most. It's like book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, he created the earth and he created the man also in verses 26 to 28. And then in verse chapter 2, he comes back and shows us how he creates the man and so on. You know, so going back and forth. But now when the angel, the seventh angel sounded, here's what we see. Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15. This is the end game right here. Praise the Lord. This is what it's all about. This is what the messenger of the covenant will deliver. After he shall have delivered up the kingdom, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Now, it's right here in the book of Revelation 11. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, verse 15, saying that kingdoms of this world, Daniel had been prophesying, all these people have been prophesying, it's happening right now. The kingdoms of this world are now become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, the chosen one. And he shall reign forever and ever, just like Daniel predicted. You know, and the 24 elders, they fell down, you know, cast their, you know, on their faces and so forth. You know, and they said, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art, which was, which is to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and unto the saints, and to them that fear thy name, both great and small, and should destroy them that have been destroying the earth. God doesn't want anybody to mess with the earth. If God's going to, you know, clean out the earth, he's going to do it himself. Anybody mess with the thing, he will deal with them finally. And the temple, God was opening heaven. And this was a vision. And John was looking at it, but he was participating. And he said, wow. And I saw, you know, the Ark of the Testament. These are reminders, you know. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and so forth. You know, but finally, when he moves all of that to the final target, new heaven and the new earth coming down, well, you say, well, I saw no temple there. God left the temple there in heaven just as a reminder of things. But when he finally finishes what he had in mind at the end, well, the Lamb is the temple of it. We also are temples, you know. For the Holy Spirit, and there'll be the light thereof. You know, he will be shining, we will be shining. And at the end, that's how it's going to finish it. Well, I determined that I'm going to finish this lesson at the bottom of the hour, and here we are at the bottom of the hour. So I rushed through that. So that's it, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus, the messenger of the covenant, all the things he came to do, and we got it, and we are a part of this. And this wraps up our series on the kingdom. This is where I wanted to end it today. Tomorrow I might do some review or whatever, but I think I've covered most of the concepts that we wanted to bring out throughout these lessons. Praise the Lord. And yesterday we talked about, you know, experiencing his righteousness and his favor. Well, you know what to do now. Praise God. We brought, you know, it's like a complete dissection of all these things that surround the kingdom. So you know what to do now. Now we go forth, we flourish, we represent. Praise God. We represent. We have heard of the Acts of the Apostles. Well, let's now see the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the sons of God. Hallelujah. And that's how it will be in the kingdom at the end. This kingdom is now coming into view. People like you and me, we're now getting understanding. And in the days ahead, you know, maybe later, the Lord will reveal to us some other things. But for now, I think this is a wrap on this series. Praise the Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord, for all the things that you've shared with us since we began this series. The kingdom of God, the keys of the kingdom. Hallelujah. The ordinances of heaven, the things about the kingdom we've been telling us and showing to us and so forth. You showed us, Lord, how to operate in the favor of God yesterday. You showed us again today that this is the purpose why Christ came, to deliver this kingdom. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Father. We give you all the praise and glory. Now that we have this hope in ourselves, let us purge ourselves, purify ourselves from all filthiness of the spirit and of the flesh, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 7:1. And we thank you, Lord. We give you all the praise and give you all the glory. And we know the King is coming. He's coming because he has gotten that kingdom and he's coming. And we will come and reign with him as well. Thank you, Father, for having this mind toward us. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen and amen.